I'd like to call this special meeting of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, on Thursday, January 22nd, 2026. The time is now 6:03. Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Newberg?
Here.
Ms. Pettinici?
Here.
Ms. Vidomsky?
Here.
Mr. Kurtica?
Present.
Mr. Santos?
Present.
Mr. Sill? Mr. Chivarella?
Present.
Ms. Falchoni-Smith? Mr. Hyder?
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect you have all nine members here. Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you, sir. Okay, number four, public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak? Please step up to the mic, hit the button, state your name and address for the record. I think you know this already.
Andrew Backlick,
hit the button. There you go.
Andrew Backlick, 501 Roosevelt Drive in Derby. Good evening, Mayor DiMartino, President Kurtica, and distinguished members of the Derby Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen. I'm here before you tonight in my capacity as a Derby property owner to express my concern about Derby potentially adopting the new local homestead property tax exemption authorized by the state. I think it's also worth mentioning that I'm employed by the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments, the regional planning agency to which Derby and the surrounding 18 municipalities belong. My job there as the Director of Municipal Affairs covers state and federal legislative matters, economic development, shared services, and providing general guidance to municipal staff and chief elected officials. I am also the former chief of staff and director of operations for this city and served my hometown proudly from 2017 to 2022. Now that you know who I am, I want to make a few points about your sole agenda item this evening. While I understand the intent of providing tax relief to homeowners, I believe adopting this exemption at this time would pose significant fiscal and equity risks to the city of Derby. First, the exemption does not reduce the city's cost of providing services. It simply removes a yet-to-be-determined percentage of a portion of owner-occupied residential property from the tax base. Unless city spending is reduced, this will create a shift of the tax burden onto renters, commercial properties, and homeowners who do not qualify for the exemption. In a city like Derby, where many residents already struggle with housing costs, shifting taxes onto renters and small businesses is neither fair nor sustainable. Second, Derby is already facing uncertainty due to a recent and upcoming property revaluations. Introducing a new exemption now would further complicate revenue forecasting and budgeting, increasing the risk of future tax hikes or service cuts. Fiscal stability should be the city's priority. Third, the law provides little to no guidance on administration, creating and enforcing eligibility rules, verifying primary residency, and handling appeals. These things will all add hefty administrative costs and staff burden, costs that ultimately fall back on taxpayers. Finally, this policy risks creating inequities between residents by favoring one class of property owner over others without addressing underlying affordability issues. Expansion of targeted relief programs for seniors, veterans, low-income residents will be more effective and fair than a broad exemption that shifts costs elsewhere. For these reasons, I urge the city to delay or reject adoption of this local homestead exemption and instead focus on maintaining a stable tax base, predictable budgets, and equitable tax policy for all Derby residents. I got about two more minutes, if you'll indulge me, Mayor. I want to close by addressing a few points that Brian Hall very succinctly made at the January 8th board meeting, which I reviewed last night online. While the points were clear and apparent, so was the uncertainty surrounding this very new law. I fully appreciate the ambitious Robin Hood sentiment of this idea, and I'm sure the board members, finance director, mayor, or whoever is behind rushing this item through the process means well and aims to steal from the rich and give to the poor. But you are simply shifting the burden to a population who will reshift it to those that most desperately need certainty on bills, our city's renters, who can often barely afford to pay rent, utilities, and still afford groceries. While I'm in favor of any policy that creates new homeowners and opportunities, this exemption does the opposite of that. Two other uncertainties that Brian mentioned were the motor vehicle tax issue, where depending upon the city's mill rate, we may forfeit $1.2 million of state money and the yet-to-be-known increase the city will incur for health insurance coverage. And forgive me if I'm particularly sensitive to any $1.2 million budgeting issues because I lived through three of them during my time here in City Hall. The city is finally budgeting things straight up with no shell games or politics involved and with smart business sense and a tone of fiscal responsibility led by Brian. How we could be considering exemptions when we don't know the green list, the legal rate, or have answers for how we plan to account for these increased costs, I'm not sure. I appreciate the strategy to adopt a generic road resolution tonight that allows for the city to determine the exact percentage of reduction between 5 and 35% at a later date. But what does that represent in real dollars? We simply don't know. And yet, we're trying to institute this now in the midst of assessment appeals, budget hearings, and the increased activity and confusion surrounding revaluation. And if you haven't been online on the message boards to see the confusion and how little people understand about what's still yet to come with the mill rate adjustment and everything, I encourage you to look at what your constituents are saying and what they don't quite understand. It's a complex issue. As someone who worked in this building for 4 years, it probably took me three of those years to really understand it. So I just feel like it's going to create new administrative burden on the assessor's office in addition. So why not wait until more data is available from not only Newford, but any other adopters of this exemption? I'm still trying to understand the rush and the lack of public hearing for such an initiative. If it is such a great idea, we should be shouting it from the rooftops and gaining public support. Keep in mind, this exemption was introduced by the Connecticut General Assembly in the summer of 2024. Milford, out of 169 municipalities in the state, has adopted it. Why is that? And why, while the city is still under state NFAC advisement, would we do anything other than straight up simple budgeting? I'll close with 2 points that may not be apparent to the board. We've all been waiting for 50 plus years, but the city is actively trying to attract new commercial mixed use and multifamily development across the street here. What does this type of activity signal to potential investors? Despite Brian's contention that this will have minimal impact, I strongly disagree. It sends the wrong message to potential investors and developers who would clearly share the additional tax burden this exemption would create. Finally, as we're getting up for the Connecticut General Assembly's 2026 legislative session, Governor Lamont has specifically directed the legislature to review tax exemptions for low-income, elderly, and veterans, with an eye toward extending relief to those who need it most. It simply doesn't make sense to take action now until the state gets their program ironed out. Once you push this button, you cannot unpush it, and the unintended consequences are too unclear to take the risk. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Hey, thank you, Andrew. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Mr. Mayor, Board, Gino DiGiovanni, 77 H Street. I'd just like to echo a couple of points from Andrew. Number one, we haven't set the mill rate yet. Number two, the tax board hasn't even met yet this current year to go over our new budget and talks from the department heads to see what cuts or what increases we're going to have. Number two, Mayor, your budget didn't even come out yet either. So the residents and the taxpayers have no idea where we are and where we're going as of right now, which it is early. And in my opinion, I don't think it's right. It's the right time. I'm not for or against this because, once again, this is new. And number two, the meeting got posted 25 hours ago, and some people on the board didn't even know that there was going to be a special meeting on this tonight, and neither did the public for that matter. But my final point is that we're trying to create a business-friendly city here to raise our grand list and shifting the tax burden from one class to another and putting it more or less onto businesses to pick up the slack, I don't think is creating a business-friendly environment for people to stop on Route 8 instead of driving two exits south. So I encourage you to push this off maybe till next year. Let's gather some other data. And I really wouldn't like to see Derby be the second municipality in the whole state out of 169 towns to go through with this and rush it and not get it right. So with that, I just wish that you guys take that into consideration, and we'll gather some more information, and hopefully maybe we get this done in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public? Anybody on Zoom would like to speak at this time? Unmute yourself and state your name and address for the record.
Hi, yes. My name is Marie Cunningham. I live at 213 Caroline Street in Derby. My landlord just let us know that all of the property taxes were going to be raised. And she just let us know that we should come in here and just speak our mind, and that we should vote for you, or let you guys know, and you guys would be voting based on everybody that's speaking. And yeah, I just wanted to say no to the homestead exemption to keep help keep the tax burden down if we can.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Joe, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to be respectful of everyone's time, so
Nate,
please
give me state your name and address, please, for the record.
Oh yeah, Alex Fiorelli. I actually live in Oxford with my wife and two kids, and I'll explain why I have a stake in this. I was born and raised in Derby. My parents still live here. My grandparents came here from Italy in the 60s. One of them still rents here, graduated Derby. So the main reason why I care about this proposal and obviously ferociously object to it, I own 26 rental units in Derby. So I'm a landlord and people will obviously question my motives. These are investments, but I also want to state that I can invest anywhere, but I choose to do it mostly in my hometown where the majority of my portfolio exists. I flipped a property here. I'm working on another one in Derby where a current Derby renter is actually going to buy as his primary residence. So this is only 5 minutes, so just hear me out if we have time.
Yeah, take your time.
I believe this proposal has a lot of unintended consequences. I feel like this is typically the case for things at any level. So on the surface, this seems great, right? It's going to alleviate taxes on people who actually live in their homes in Derby, and that's not true at all. As others said, I don't have to dive too far into it, but it's going to redistribute all that tax burden onto tenants who occupy potentially up to 43% of the multifamily homes in Derby. And as you know, Derby has the largest percentage of multifamily homes out of any town in the valley. So regardless of what the mill rate's lower to, people will still see another significant tax increase. And again, all you're doing by passing this is shifting the burden onto people who rent. So yes, you could say I'm financially motivated, but at the same time, I can say, well, if I didn't care as much as I did about Derby's future, I would just wait and see what the new tax increase would be given the assessments and the proposal, and investors like me would get hit, and I could just pass the rent increase on to all of my tenants. At the end of the day, I do not want to do that. This is going to impact the town at a very large scale. You're going to have landlords who don't care, who only see it as an investment with no skin in the game, and they will simply just raise the rents proportionally across the board, and the tenants who can't afford it, they will be evicted and they won't have their leases renewed. And the long-term effect, you'll create a higher rent floor and decreased affordability. So the only people who are going to be able to afford to live in Derby, if this actually happens, are going to be people that have the Section 8 vouchers. And I will explain that. So Section 8, great program for people who need it, but it's abused and it creates rent raises across the board. So I've been doing this since 2016, and I know what the tactics are. Whenever a landlord lists an apartment, they don't know what they can get. They always look up the HUD rates, right? They're listed by town according to bedroom. So for example, if I have a two bedroom in Derby, which I have a few of, and I'm unsure what to charge, I can reference the HUD standard and they say, oh, you can get up to 1800 for a two bedroom in Derby. Well, a unit that I would otherwise list for 14 to 1600, I can now get 1800, and I'm going to, because I'm going to put it out there and the rental market is strong in Derby. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be part of the housing affordability crisis. I have people in my units who have been there for 7, 8 years. So this is going to cause a massive wave of people who are going to leave Derby. It's going to be a transient resident base. There are renters who've been here for decades. You know, this isn't just primary homeowners. These are people who were born here. They're elderly. They're renting. Commercial landlords will avoid Derby. Larger corporations are going to raise prices in lieu of the taxes. Everyone here and thinking about setting up shop here is going to suffer. You're going to see, you know, more chipping paint, more garbage everywhere, which is a topic in of itself. You know, people not caring about the homes. You know, those really negligent landlords, they exist, and I'm trying my best not to be one of them. So if your intention is to incentivize people to live and stay in Derby, you're ignoring a massive portion of your own citizens. This is potentially up to 43% of them. I'm going to skip a lot of the other stuff I was going to say. So I don't know of any other town other than New Milford, as Gino hinted towards, that has actually adopted this as a percentage basis. But the kicker is they're only 24% multifamily while Derby is 43. So that's a massive discrepancy. So we can't even compare apples to apples when we're actually looking at, hey, how has this impacted, you know, other towns? So we're trying an experiment that we don't have to do for reasons I really don't understand. You know, we're not really financially stable yet. I think we're on the path. You know, bigger investors are taking note. I also question who's going to manage this. 2 more minutes. You know, why are we saying, hey, let's just roll the dice and maybe, you know, kind of pander to some people who actually live here and give them a break? Like, I'm being respectful. You know, I'm aware the other people live in town. People are questioning the motives behind closed doors. So my last point is, you know, this is honestly telling me that we don't care about the people who rent in town. There's no other way to frame it. It's not political. I have no other agenda. I'm here because I actually care and I don't want to do this. I ate a lot of the rent increases because of the taxes that happened a couple years ago. But we're literally saying we don't care about the people who rent in Derby. We only care about the people who own their homes, who oftentimes have family that rent them. A couple more sentences. So we're not hurting investors. They're not going to pay increased taxes in a vacuum with no ripple effect. And just to further drive home the fact that I care beyond financials, you know, I want to acknowledge that I will potentially not only lose money, you know, I can make money on this. I can raise the rents. I can do what I have to do, but I don't want to do that. I'm in it for the long game. The majority of my portfolio is in Derby. I love the people here. I have history here. It's near and dear to my heart. You know, I always say you could make money anywhere. Why not do it where you have a stake in the game? I get the best of both worlds. But at the end of the day, we're hurting the tenants. We're hurting the chances of businesses, both big and small, rooting themselves here. And, you know, we're raising the cost of everyone that does business or actually consumes any service or product in town. So thank you everyone for listening. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak? Third and final time, anybody from the public like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Mark Carfalo. I'm the town clerk and here to speak regarding this matter that's on the agenda tonight. As I did inform the mayor that I would do so. And I do so because I've served a long time in public life in the city with many of you and respect the volunteer people that serve on boards and commissions and work for the city of Derby. This and anybody that knows me knows I have an opinion on everything under the sun, but I don't choose to speak it in the public portion because you have a job to do. And if I need to express something, I'm here to express that or help make better public policy. This is a large issue. And it is a confusing issue for people. And it is going to have, in my opinion, if we adopt this, it's going to have unintended consequences that we're not even thinking about right now, because we don't know what the percentage is, not even in the document. So I think that if you're going to adopt something, that the percentage should be in there so we know what that's going to be. Because after all, what we're trying to get to is equity, right? Equity through this whole process that really should be addressed to our state legislative people. The revaluation process is unfair to everybody, but it's the system that is adopted by the state. So I offer that we have to be thoughtful because the wheels of government move slowly, and everybody in the world is frustrated by that. But they move slowly for a reason. Whether it's Washington or Hartford or here, they move slowly so that there's a deliberative process to hear all sides of an issue. This is an untested piece of public policy that is already being revisited at the state level, and there's no example that we could look to for this. And we've heard from property owners, landowners, apartment owners, and so forth. But I also remind you that it also is going to go on to the business community as well, not only the big shopping centers, but the, in particular, the owner-occupied businesses, long-standing people who also live in our community. And just to, like, focus it, it's Maddie's Deli, it's Roseland, it's Dewdrop, it's Adzima Funeral Home. It's a whole bunch of a railroad gas station, people who have been here for generations operating their business and who also live here. So if we're going to talk about equity and relief, it is a noble thing to talk about that. And we should talk about that to help the people who need it the most. And there are other options, right, to consider when easing the burden of revaluation. The one of the ways is we already have the state elderly exemption that is in place and we get reimbursed from the state, but there's an option to extend that elderly, and it's based on income. We can extend that income. We can increase that income for other elderly that would, who might be in need in excess of the limits, because the limits are pretty low. You could also put a, you could put a general income guideline to help people, homeowners who have less income that would have to go through the same process. That would focus to help the people who need it the most. And it would be less of a shift back onto the business and to the renters. And the renters, you know, are, you know, it's not, they're not gonna, it's not gonna be like untouched through this whole thing. And I think sometimes we have some really bad landlords in Derby, like really bad ones who don't take care of their property. So I think sometimes we see those faces, you know, we see those faces, but we forget that a lot of the three family homes are owned by people who live in them, and or there's larger properties of people who live here. And it is very important to me to look at this matter and say, what are all the options, to get the input from our assessor, to get the input from, to see where the state legislation is going, to consider something like this that might be helpful, but to go through the process that we go through, a committee process, and to vet this, to hear it all out, because it's new and it's complicated. And to try to oversimplify it doesn't really do any good, because it is a complicated thing that has unintended consequences. So I just urge your caution, I urge your careful thought, and I urge your judgment for the greater good. And I say this as a property owner, as it relates to the revaluation, my value went up 90%. So if the mill rate comes down to a point where we think it might come at budget zero, that would be with no new spending, my taxes stand to go up $1,000 a year. So I say that to say for the greater good. And I don't say the $1,000 lightly. It's a big nut for anybody. So I think that please be cautious, be careful, and be thoughtful about the way we proceed. And again, we don't often see a lot of people at these meetings, so it is helpful to remember that they're here, people are here, people are on Zoom, it's being live streamed, so it is a complicated matter that begs for thoughtful decision making. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mark. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak? Third and final time, anybody?
I would like to speak.
Name and address for the record.
Okay, my name is Karen Espinoza, and I actually am not a resident, but I own two properties, one on 3rd Street and one on Caroline Street. And we have also been hit pretty hard with the revaluation. One property was almost tripled, the other one was a little more than doubled. And we are concerned about our tenants. We intentionally try to keep the rents to be affordable, and we try and be as good as we can as landlords. And yeah, we're just concerned. We're concerned about raising the rents and putting a burden on our tenants. And that's all.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public? Third and final time? Hearing none, public portion is now closed. Number five on the agenda, homestead property tax exemption ordinance, discussion and possible action. Brian?
First, Brian Hall, finance director for the city of Derby. Thank you all for your time tonight. I'll just piggyback a little bit off of kind of last week's meeting and address some of the comments that were discussed. So as we talked a little bit about the homestead exemption, it is an option. You've got the ordinance in front of you. The ordinance obviously does give you the range. Purpose being that you're not setting the rate tonight. You will not have to revisit an ordinance every time that you want to change that rate. You set the ordinance, you get the range, and then each year you're going to pick the percentage. Likely you wouldn't change it over the future years once we decide. That percentage could be anywhere between the 5 and 35. So the more you swing toward 35, the more you shift that burden away from the residential homeowner and more to the commercial and residential property landlords. So no one's asking at this point to make that decision as far as how much that shift's going to be. But the fact of the matter is, there is absolutely going to have to be an increase in taxes dollars generated. That 1.2 million is going to disappear when the motor or when the mill rates drops to around that motor vehicle cap level, which I expect it to do. Personal property, so all small businesses, they're all going to get a break on their personal property because their personal property is not going to change much, and their mill rate's going to come down. So while I would agree that the people that run businesses and own businesses, they're going to have two things going on, right? They're going to have their personal property coming down. They're going to potentially have their, well, they will have their taxes going up on their property. Everyone will. Guaranteed, no matter what, if you do nothing, right, you're definitely in double digit tax increase to cover the reassessment process. I was on a call today where the state is expecting about a 13% increase in healthcare costs. Okay, that's a big number to try to find somehow. Well, the mayor and I have started the budget process. We've met with most of the directors. Everyone is sitting as flat as possible. Most all of them are flat. Maybe a couple of them have to go up based on contracts. There's really just nowhere else to cut. But I expect that amount to be really minimal, just as it's been the last year and every year we've done this budget. The issue is not going to be the stuff that we can control and the direction control. It's the stuff that we can't control. We can't control the state aid. It is what it is. They're going to take it away from us. I can't control if the mill rate comes down that the people on the personal property are going to pay less. And I can't control if the state raises the healthcare by 13%. So those are just things we're going to have to deal with. Now, everyone can pay the same. All will be probably more than what everybody experienced 2 years ago. Or the homestead gives you an option to shift that burden, as we've talked about. Again, how much you shift that burden is to be determined at a later date when we have the final numbers, probably in the next couple meetings. But nonetheless, it does shift that burden to the commercial and the residential landlords versus the 3,000 residents that live and own in their home and reside in their home. I don't know that, I don't think we can do this next year. Counselor, you would be, know for sure. I believe that you have to do it in an assessment year. So I don't know that that's going to be an option. I think this is our one chance. There is obviously, there is going to be administrative costs. As I've highlighted before, maybe $25,000 to implement, so it's not free. We've tried to keep that application as straightforward as possible to try to eliminate that. And I'm hopeful that it will, but it is the first time anyone would be doing it. So we'll see. The sense of urgency, I guess, is really more around the unknown timing of how long it's going to take the process, the potentially 3,000 applications that would come in, and making sure we got enough time to communicate to the residents about this program, give them time to get their applications in, give us time to process them, and time for the bills to be adjusted in July. So again, delaying this is just really, we're running out of time to effectively be able to administer it, and make sure everyone is aware of it and gets a chance to apply to it and get the benefit this year and not have to skip that to the following year. Anyone else have any other questions? Again, we're just talking about the ordinance. I know there's a couple changes on the application that we'll finalize if the ordinance goes through. I mean, the order of operations, so you know, is that if you approve the ordinance tonight, we would get the applications finalized, work with QDS to get the letters out to folks. That's going to take a few weeks. Ideally, we get everything done through March 31st, which then gives us another month or so to process it. Deal with any kind of issues and get the bills out in time. I'm probably coming back to you in the next few meetings with the final numbers and the percentage recommendations. Similar to what I had shown as an example, you know, would be likely, I would give you some different scenarios. One where it's a very low tax increase on the homeowners. 3.5%, I believe, is what I was targeting last time. But I'm certainly open to other ranges. So you can make it a little more, a bigger burden on the homeowners or less. But that would have been my recommendation. And most likely be as we finalize the numbers and figure out how to solve the likely $2 to $3 million tax shortfall that we're going to have to solve for one way or the other. Either everyone's going to pay for it, or as we've talked about, we're going to shift that burden.
Any questions for Brian?
I have a question for Attorney Vitterla. Is this something that, as Brian said, it's only eligible during assessment years, or is delaying 1 year a possibility, or is it going to be a 10-year delay?
So as a number of speakers have noted, this is a relatively new statute. And the statutory language in 12-8100 of the Connecticut General Statutes does not address that. It seems to be wide open. So in that sense, there isn't a prohibition upon taking it up, say, next year. There isn't. The reason New Milford, I believe, looked at it, and probably the reason you've heard the finance director say why he's looking at it, is because you're coming off the heels of a reevaluation. And so I think that's the motivation. But the statute itself does not address whether it has to follow a reevaluation.
And
let me just say one more thing, Mr. Mayor. And this is not a statute that has been tested in court. So there are no judicial decisions following it. So just from the plain reading of the statute, there is no limitation.
If I may, I have a question here. I'm looking at the third paragraph here of section 12-8100. It says there is established for the assessment year commencing October 1st, 2025, and each assessment year thereafter. Now, those assessment years are done yearly or every?
So it just means that if you get the exemption this year, you're going to get it each year thereafter. You do not have to reapply. You would have to reapply the next time there's an assessment, which would be 5 years later.
5 years. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Ryan, have you looked at any of the other potential exemptions that were talked about during public portion?
Other than the four exemptions that Betsy talked about, the couple of which you're looking at adopting, which really is going to be for a relatively small group of people, I don't think you're going to find anything that's broad-based like this. I think the next best option would be to phase in the reval over a 4 to 5 year period. Then everyone's going to be paying more taxes than they probably want for the next 4 to 5 years. And then the next 4 or 5 years, you're going to see your assessment kind of grow each year. And a lot of the confusion and concern I think that folks had this year when their assessment goes up will likely continue over that period of time. Net, you're still paying the tax, but I will say it would allow for more of that state aid to trickle in over that 4 to 5 year period and offset some of that burden. Not certainly not all of it, but it would limit that, but again, now you're stretching it out over that period of time. So I would say if this is not a path to go, then you'd probably hear me up here pushing for that next.
Good, sir.
I just also wanted to state, I just wanted to thank all of the members of the public who spoke today, and expressed their concerns, just because this is, there are questions, there are probably more questions than answers, that I have about this because it's so new, and we don't have another municipality to look at in the state to see. I think multiple people talked about unintended consequences. So I have some concerns about that. But I also have concerns about the burden on all taxpayers, both, single and two family homeowners and those who are business owners and apartment complex owners. There's a lot to consider and think about.
Any other questions? Hearing none.
I just does is Betsy still on?
Yes, I am.
Betsy, do you have as our assessor, any thoughts or regarding this homestead exemption, or have you heard anything, through your experience with other municipalities as the assessor?
Well, I have had extensive conversations with Brian Laster, who is the assessor in New Milford. And I think he takes the same opinion as I do, is that I'm the worker bee. If the administration feels that this is best for the community, we'll figure out how to make it happen in our office. That's sort of how I look at it. I do support in my other municipalities, local elderly benefits, local veteran benefits, those types of things. So those are other options to look at for the people because they're income based. So they really are going to the people who need it. But I'm not in a position to speak for it or against it. That's your guys' job. But as I said, if it's something that the administration wants to happen, then we'll figure out how to make it work.
Thanks, Betsy.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, if I just may reiterate what my colleague said regarding the newness of this tax exemption, and personally, right now, wanting to know as hearing the public talk about this, I think we need more information in discussing, process and the funding. How is it going to be a burden on residents of Derby, but also we want to keep businesses here and hoping that we can come to some resolution of inviting businesses in the future and getting some type of tax exemption for them based on this homestead. But right now, as it stands, there's still a lot of information missing for us to actually make a decision on this.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
I have another question. And this is kind of in line with, can we wait a year? If we wait a year, or if we do it now and we pick, one percentage, are we then allowed to change it annually if something is just not working or it's not balanced to our liking?
My understanding, yes. Okay.
Annually, we're okay. Thank you.
And if I may, this ordinance is basically modeled on the New Milford ordinance, and that is why they basically took the 5 to 35%, and they haven't established what percentage they're going to utilize, and so they're not locked in over a period of time. I think that was the motivation behind the way it was written.
Okay. What's the board's pleasure? Is there any action tonight? Or we leave it and readjourn?
Well, speaking with the members, I believe that we should table this for a future meeting until we get the questions, the answers to our questions that we have. I believe it's a good program, but it needs to be tweaked a little bit. We have a lot of seniors in town. And I believe that if they're not eligible for the senior exemption that the state has, that we should try to do something for them. But in the meantime, as Drew brought up, that we don't want the businesses to, and the small businesses and the big businesses to leave our municipality. So is my motion is that we table this ordinance to a later date.
Okay, there's a motion made by George. There's a second. Second, Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Sorry, you one vote.
One opposed. Number six, adjournment.
Motion to adjourn at 6:44.
I mean, it's Ray Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, George. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.